It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. If you're looking to install some new windows or a new door, a great place to start with Pella is their showroom. It helps to actually see the windows and see the doors open and close them to get a better feel for exactly what you're going to be installing in your house. The showrooms are really cool. They got showrooms in Omaha and in Lincoln, so go check them out. Or you can check Pella out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. I love it when I get tweets like this. Cody tweeted at me and said, hit up the Runza super secret menu today. Had pickles put on my Runza. Who'd have thought? Thanks, Nick. Love it, Cody. You need to take advantage of this super secret menu opportunity, we can call it. You can put anything within reason on a Runza. You want pickles like Cody? Go for it. You want ranch? Go for it. You want pepper jack cheese? Go for it. Why? Because every Runza starts as an original Runza sandwich. You can add anything in the kitchen within reason onto your Runza sandwich and make it your own and make it delicious. Get out to Runza today. Give it a try. Runza makes it all better. All right. Welcome into part two of the List Wine Pod. We've already released part one, which of course went totally off the rails. I hope you guys have really enjoyed it. Part one, which of course is already on the podcast feed. You can go check that out. It's list season, so pretty simple concept. You know, this is the time of year people are top five, top 10 lists of different things. And I decided to get a little crazy with mine and do a bunch of different categories, anything from top five favorite Nebraska football teams of all time, top 10 NBA players of all time, top five favorite TV shows of all time, favorite sports movies of all time, like all different types of lists. And of course, Bo Rude and I go on a bunch of different tangents. So, man, I hope you guys are enjoying listening to this as much as, you know, Bo and I enjoyed recording it and laughing about it. It was good. So, again, on deck today, part two, Wine Pod, lists, ridiculousness. It's all in these pods here. So let's get to it. Here's part two of the List Wine Pod with yours truly and former Husker linebacker and my best friend, Bo Rude. Enjoy. How about this? This might be also, this is kind of like my 90s thing, but this, I guess I'll rename this. Did you grow up in the 90s? And can you believe that these things are better now? List? This is what I was originally top inventions in my life or advancements, okay? So, I mean, again, from 1984 on. The first thing I wrote down was TiVo DVR. The idea that you could pause and rewind live TV, even to this day, I'm still kind of amazed by it. To this day, sitting in my house with my Allo TV, shouts out to Allo, and I can pause, rewind, it's kind of amazing to me. Because sometimes I think about what it was like. Like, I'll be into a show, or I'll maybe not hear what someone said, or the phone will ring right as a big moment in a show is happening. Like, so in 1971, we were watching a big show or a big game, and the phone rang or something happened. You're a dad, and all of a sudden your kid shits his pants, and you got to go, like, you just missed it, and it was just gone for forever.
So you missed it, and I don't know that you'd get to see it again.
It's over.
Unless maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years later, they show some sort of like rerun, and that's not a guarantee at that time.
And you still got to be there. Then it's the same set of problems, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, oh, I never saw that episode of MASH. Here it is again.
Then maybe it goes into syndication, and there was, I don't know how syndication worked back then.
Like, I don't either.
Like, if it's Happy Days or Gilligan's Island, and you miss an episode, how long till they reshow that episode?
I mean,
I don't know.
I just don't, for I don't me, remember. Like, there are a lot of games that, like, I will pause. Like, okay, I got to put Mac or Maeve to bed. I got to pause this game or this show or whatever, and I can go. I know I can just be like, oh, let me pause it. I'll go put the kids to bed, come back down, boom.
Well, so by the 80s, you know, you could tape on VHS.
At least.
So by the 80s at some point, people started doing that so they could – you know, they wouldn't have to miss things, or, you know, they could rewind and, watch it. But, like, that's a – how many people knew how to, like, even do that?
I just remember the first time I got a TiVo, because we had a TiVo. The first time I got a TiVo, I was just like – my brain couldn't understand it.
Changed the game, though. Especially, I think more than anything is, like, live sports. Like, when you can we'll do that now, where during the game, like, you wait – so you can watch it commercial free, and then you rewind every play you want to see again. You really get to break down.
Right. Okay. What happened? You'll be like, you know, busted football coverage. Like, how did they hit that big pass? You get to rewind it and like.
Yeah. I mean, me and you for these we do, you know, our Husker recaps. Like, we basically it's not the all 22 breakdown, but we get to rewind forward, rewind forward.
Right.
That play gets to be seen five times, so we go. We know what we're talking about the next day.
I just don't understand. I just incredible. Okay,
great invention.
On top of that, I wrote kind of MP3s, iTunes. Yeah. Like, I remember the first time it was Jeff Hawkins, one of my teammates at Kansas, had the first iPod. Where, like, because I mean, think I'm sure you're the same. Like, when we'd go to basketball games on basketball trips, you had to bring your CD like case, where you'd bring 20 CDs and you were taking it in and out of your individual CD player, or if you want to go back a little further, tape player, whatever. Like, I remember the fact that, I mean, you could go from listening to Tupac to listening to De La Soul to listening to Run DMC all in, like, a click of, like, that is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
Every song you've ever wanted on one. I mean, it's the same, like we're talking about. It was the every movie in a box, every piece of music, every song you want in a little.
But even now, just in general, like just the fact that every song ever is accessible like that. That's a weird.
Especially think of like the music heads that you know that. They've bought like 4,000, you know, CDs and records, and all of a sudden you say,
"Oh,
guess what? You can have like it's amazing.
It's crazy.
It's just awesome. It's I mean, that's why I have Spotify. I think Spotify is one of the greatest things I've ever experienced in my life. It's every song and every album I could ever imagine
at your fingertips.
I mean, I love it.
It's incredible. The next thing I wrote down was GPS. As someone that goes to a lot of different cities and has to find different arenas and hotels and all that stuff. Like, I don't think I could do my job without GPS. And it's pretty amazing that all I have to do is type in one thing and boom, it takes me turn by turn. Like, that's incredible to me.
Our generation's fear of travel is so minimal because you're never lost.
Ever.
You never have to worry about being lost.
How are you ever lost?
You don't have to plan either.
How are you lost?
You don't have to plan, and you're never lost. You just get to go where you want to.
Right. That's incredible.
It's amazing.
That's incredible. And then I wrote down, I mean, like, just the capabilities and the advancements of your phone, mainly from the standpoint of three things. The fact that I can take a photo, because I vividly remember the first time I had a Sprint phone that could take a picture, and boom, it's there. Then record a video on your phone is incredible. And then FaceTime is a pretty remarkable thing. How many long-distance relationships didn't last in 1987 that would have lasted because of FaceTime? Imagine a long-distance relationship where you cannot... You physically can't
I got two things to say. Okay.
I got two things to say.
You
number
said,
one.
I know. So FaceTime, to me, it's like...
Are you anti-FaceTime? I feel like you're kind of anti-FaceTime.
No, I'm not anti-FaceTime, but I'd say there's two groups of people that FaceTime are very pro-FaceTime. The first group is grandparents. I think grandparents... It's the grandparents' game changer. They get to see their grandkids... In person.
Right.
I mean, okay. I got to see my grandma twice a year at most. Once in the winter for Christmas, every other year, and once in the summer.
Right.
That's when I got to see my grandma.
Physically see them. Right.
My dad and you know, he FaceTimes in with his grandkids all the time.
Right.
Grandparents love FaceTime.
Yeah.
The second group, people that want to see each other naked. Right? If you're dating, you don't get to see each other.
Think about, you're in a long distance relationship. Think about how big of a difference it would make in 1987 if
you can flirt. You can flirt and see them.
See them.
You can flirt. Like, in a relationship, it's one thing to talk. It's another thing to talk and be able to like flirt
and see them, physically see them. Let me look at you.
People are people. Like, we're human.
Think about
beings.
That. Like, think about a long distance relationship and not being able to see your girlfriend for a year. Like, you cannot see them.
How does it work? How do you make it?
How does it make it? But like FaceTime and or be the ability to record videos, take photos. Like, you can, I mean, anymore, like, you can really feel like you're with them without being with them because of the phone.
It's funny. My now wife. She went to we started dating. She left and went to New Zealand for 9 months.
Was she gone for 9 months?
9 months. Yeah. I didn't know if she was coming back, to be honest with you. Like, she was like, I'm going to New Zealand.
How much were you two FaceTiming?
So FaceTime was...
was relatively new?
It was relatively... this was 2014.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, it wasn't like... and she was in New Zealand, yeah. Right? Like, cell phones were, you know, the service was different.
So how did you
different.
Make it work?
So she had, like, a special... she could, I think you can put in like a little, what's the McCall, you know, you switch your,
I want to know what this is. Like, you're talking about like a,
we're going to sound like,
I mean, I don't know what you're doing. If for a view against Evo, he's just like touching his fingers together.
Yeah,
what do you mean, dude? Your wife's in New Zealand. You're saying, you know, and
the phone,
adapter,
it's like your
camera, a camera.
Oh, God, we're so stupid.
We're drunk. That's a problem. Could just say what it does. Just simplistically, just say what it does, and we'll see if we can figure it out.
Your SIM card.
Oh,
there we go. So you have to have a new SIM card for, you know, to.
Whatever. I mean, you act like I understand what I know what a SIM card is,
yes.
But do I know what a SIM card does? I do not.
So I think essentially it's like, you have to have like the international one. At the time, that's what you had to have, right?
And that allowed you to then...
and then we could, I think, she could FaceTime me from there.
Gotcha.
Maybe I'm wrong. This was...
well, I mean, listen.
It was a long time ago, but I remember it was like, we got to do that a couple of times. Like, we got to FaceTime a couple times. And it made it so much.
Imagine
difference.
That, you got to see her. At least you got to see her.
I got to see.
You look at her.
The girl I'm dating.
Yes.
That's across the world where you go, man. It's like,
just
if you don't
them,
get to see him,
that's when you're like, man, what am I doing?
It's a little bit harder,
you know.
Yeah, and so I'm.
That's the problem.
It helped.
Okay. I think
why was that? I was struggling. Like,
I don't. I mean,
SIM card, right?
Yeah, no, but that's a fairly. I mean, I don't think anybody knows what a
because,
SIM
yeah,
card
you,
is.
Because yeah, you have.
I didn't know you had to have a different SIM card if you went to a different.
When you go to another at the time, you had, when you get into another country, like you had to change
SIM cards.
So it's like to their.
And then, okay, so then the other one I wrote down was streaming TV and movies. Just that, but that's all. It's all kind of one and the same.
You and your
block,
you and your blockbuster moment were as a scarring moment. Couldn't go rent Micro Machines and Michael Jordan's Playground for the 13th.
I was such a sucker. I was that guy. How many times did you have? You seem like that person would have the discipline to go to Blockbuster, and if what you wanted wasn't there, you would leave without getting anything. I was always going to leave with like NHL bloopers. Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily highbrow material, but it was.
Well, you know what I remember? I was talking this to our buddy Will the other day. Remember UFC when it first came out? It was back with the pornos. It was behind the curtains. And I think
that's
we had your
crazy.
Mom. I think we talked your mom into going and getting us UFC like one, and we had to tell her like, yeah, it's behind that.
Go curtain. Behind that curtain.
Go
mom.
Behind the curtain.
Oh
with
my God!
Buns and boobs part two. Like, and she did it. God bless her. But like, think about like even that, right?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Okay. What I love most about these things is everything I throw at you ends up getting just eviscerated, and I love it. Where you want to go next? We got to bang through these because we're, I mean, we're the
give
longer
me my
we go,
options. Give me my options here again.
Do you want top five Nebraska favorite Nebraska games or post Frank Solich era negative Nebraska games?
Let's do the post Frank negatives.
Let's knock those out. I actually think they're pretty easy. Four of them are easy. The fifth one I struggled with. You ready for them?
Yep.
A game that you were a part of, 2007 USC at home.
Yeah.
Because I think, unfortunately, that game was kind of the beginning of the end of
Callahan.
Would you agree or no?
Absolutely. That game, it spiraled from there.
That game.
We were optimistic going into
that
game.
Again, what we said at the start of this pod, you guys were just off of a Big 12 championship game appearance.
And we thought, and we were
and you beat Wake Forest.
Who turned out to be good. They won their conference, and we sort of beat them without thinking they were anything special.
You went to their place, right?
To their place, beat them. And
you
then
beat
we
Nevada?
Played, beat Nevada, beat Wake Forest, and we've been preparing for USC all summer. Like, that was the whole offseason, and we thought we were ready, and then we just got – we played like crap. Just, but they beat the crap. I mean, they were good.
They were outstanding.
Nick, let me tell you something. They're linebackers, okay? Keith Rivers, top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Brian Cushing.
Yep.
Who was playing the, starter and all pro for years. Clay Matthews was a backup.
Clay was a backup.
They had another guy that I played with in Cleveland that was a backup that was a fourth round draft pick. And then Ray Maluga, who was, I think he was a second round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, they had five guys
that
were
just
top.
That's one position.
It's one position group.
That's one position.
Yeah.
I remember they kept running like a fullback dive. Like the first couple, they ran had a long fullback like.
Yeah, trap. Like a fullback trap.
It was that early in the game that they had a big long gain along your sideline. But that game has to be on there.
Yep.
Well, am I wrong? Are there any other, because like to me, all the other Callahan games before that, like. That feels like the biggest one. Agree? Because now I'm going
the
to
the
games
Texas
until the last one.
Tech.
Yeah, the 70.
That was a humiliation game.
I remember I watched that game. I was in Lawrence, Kansas, and I was just like, what is happening? What?
It was 30-10 at the start of the fourth quarter, and then it was like.
It was like you blinked, and it was. Did it get to 70-10?
70-10.
Yeah, that's. But I still.
Bill Callahan just losing his mind again.
Yeah, but I'm still going to go 2007 USC. That's okay. Number one. Second one, 2009 Big 12 championship game, the one second game. Easy, right? This next one gets forgotten, but I'm going to put it in there just because you can't tell me that a game in which you led by 18 points that you would have won a conference championship needs to get omitted. The 2010 Big 12 championship.
It's forgotten, but it was...
Why does that game get forgotten so much?
Because 09 was the Sioux game, and it was the one second where...
But like 2010, Bo, I remember going to that game. It is the last. It was Nebraska had already known they were going to the Big Ten, so it was the last game in the Big 12 ever.
Yeah,
and they were playing Oklahoma, their longtime rival.
And
Nebraska
was
up by 18.
We blew it.
Like I feel like that game gets just not talked about enough to me.
And it's like you go to either 06, 10, 11, and like you win one,
just one
Big
of them.
12. And like, what does that do to the trajectory?
I couldn't agree more. You win one of the – so between 06, 2009, 2010, and then even this next one, I wrote the 2012 Big Ten title game, the game you and I drank an entire bottle of Crown pretty much watching.
Yeah.
We didn't plan on it. We had to cope with it. That was the 70-31 game against Wisconsin. Oh. I don't think there's been a game I've been more shocked with that degree of, because Nebraska had already beaten them. Remember, they were third or fourth place in the other division because that was the year that Penn State and Ohio State were
on probation
and got dismantled.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, was it like, it was Melvin Gordon was like a, wasn't he like the third string?
It was like Monty Ball, James White.
They had like three really good running backs and they all were like 600 yards later.
Torching. And then the last one, those were the four. And then I struggle with the fifth. You could throw the Texas Tech one in there. I honestly put 2018 Colorado at home. Frost, the first game of the Scott Frost era. I think there's a butterfly effect to that game. You win that game. Yeah. Maybe Martinez doesn't get hurt at the end of it, which then changes the trajectory of that season slightly. And you finally you get off to a good start. You get a big win under your belt. It's an old rival. Like, I think in some ways that game was ended up being – that game set a tone in a negative way.
You could almost – what's funny is you could say 2018 or 2019 Colorado.
You know what?
You could really flip a coin because if you win the first year, there's a butterfly effect. It almost – the same thing happens the next year. There's a serious butterfly effect – if we win the next year, because we were looking like, I don't know. I think that one.
You're right.
I think the fan base, the letdown was bigger the second Colorado than the first one.
You're right. The reason I put 2018 was because if Martinez doesn't get hurt, then they beat Troy and like everything.
Then we
go to a bowl game.
We go to a bowl game and our recruiting's better.
Yes.
Because the recruiting took a hit a little bit after 18. They still recruited decent. But I think it hurt that they lost their first six games.
I think the reason I think the answer is actually 2019, and maybe this isn't the right way to put it. I remember walking out of the stadium in the 2018 Colorado game. I was disappointed, but I was more like, remember Nebraska had rushed for 300 yards. I think they had seven sacks. Like, Martinez showed flashes of what you thought he could be. I left that game not that upset.
Well, the defense looks so much better because if you remember the 2017 defense, they were atrocious.
Awful.
I mean, Diaco's defense was so bad and so unimpressive that, like, you could see the progress immediately. So,
yes.
The 2018 Colorado game, the one positive is you saw the progress.
True.
You lost the game, and it caused us to start 0-6 probably.
Yes.
But you saw progress. 2019, the issue was we had a better team and we had a game in our pocket.
Yeah.
And we gave it away.
Yeah, you're right.
And
yeah,
then the fan base, you could feel the air go out for the rest of the season. Almost.
Yeah, I think the answer is probably 2019 Colorado, to be honest with you, because of that. Because I think, can a game be in this category if you didn't leave it feeling bad? And yeah. As weird as it is, in 2018, you left that game. Like, hindsight, looking back on it, that game maybe had a bigger effect than you think.
Yeah.
But I don't remember leaving that game thinking to myself, like, oh, boy. Oh, man. But 2019, I think it was when we first started doing our recap pods. Like, I couldn't – like, I was, like, bummed out even the next day doing the pod.
That was a hard one. That was
brutal.
I think the Colorado and the Iowa games, if you sort of just combine those ones have been rough.
Rough. I mean, really rough. Okay, then let's transition into my top five favorite Nebraska football games of all time for a feel-good, even though one of them is a loss. My favorite Nebraska football game of all time, hands down, we recapped it. I just still can't even believe. If you handed this script to Hollywood, they'd be like, this seems a little too unbelievable. 1994 national title. Ozzie's first one.
I thought you were going to say 01.
OU?
OU.
Oh, it's on the list.
I guess that's probably your favorite in person.
That's my favorite in person. My favorite Nebraska football game of all time is Tom Osborne's first national championship.
Yes, that's fair.
Is that fair?
Done. Easy.
Number two, I put 83, the loss. Watching that game. Think back to when we recapped that game. That game was fucking incredible.
That was maybe our best recap.
It was. I think it was. Like, the thing that I didn't realize about that game was, like, Nebraska was beating down the door of history. Like, I didn't realize that the narrative going into that game was, if Nebraska wins this game, is the 1983 Nebraska football team the greatest team of all time?
Probably.
And just all the things with that game, you had the fumble Ruski, you had the terrible start, you have Irving, Mike Rozier gets hurt, Jeff Smith comes in, runs his ass off, Fryer drops the touchdown, fourth down, from the 25, they run an option. Jeff Smith scores.
We kind of said it's like everything that Nebraska stands for was like in that game, like toughness,
right?
The comeback, Ozzie, like the principles that he stood for were, it's like it mattered to do your best and try to win the game more than it did
to
tie and get all the.
So I think that's
–
so don't you think those – the first two – because 94 was also about conditioning and depth and wearing people down and all that stuff. Like, the first two games on my list to me embody what Nebraska is all about.
Yeah.
The third game on the list, even though it's really not that exciting of a game if you watch it, is the 95 Fiesta Bowl smashing Florida. But it's the culmination of the greatest football team to ever college
football
team.
It's the victory lap.
It's the victory lap of the greatest football team ever in college. Then I have 2001 Oklahoma.
Yep.
Instead of, again, it goes back to our NBA debate of like, I should have 71 Oklahoma game of the century here, but I'm not going to because this is my list. You can have it if you want. I'm going to have the 1997 Missouri game because I think that game actually shapes a lot more of – it shapes – really, it made three people's careers – one, two for sure, and one, it allows him to ride off in the sunset in Tom Osborne.
Yep.
It shapes Matt Davison's career. I mean, it changes the trajectory of his life, and it changes the trajectory – and career of Scott Frost.
I'm thinking about this now. I'm glad this is like your list because it doesn't make sense to not have the game of the century and have 01 Oklahoma Nebraska.
Totally. It doesn't make any sense.
But I like that that's your list.
I literally was like, you know what? Because I wrote down 71 and I'm like,
but you don't
maybe I'll feel different because I haven't watched that game yet. We still got to do that at some point. We got to watch that game. But that's my list. Like those.
We
like,
didn't do the game of the century yet, did we?
We haven't done that yet. We
because it was the last.
It was going to be our finale.
And the season started. That's right.
That's it. We didn't do it yet. So that's our 94 Miami Orange Bowl, 83 Miami Orange Bowl, 95 Florida Fiesta Bowl, 2001 Oklahoma, stunts to Crouch, 97 Mizzou. Probably got to have. Oh, you would have 71 Oklahoma? And off 97 Mizzou?
Yeah. I mean, you got to the greatest Husker games ever. If you are known as the greatest game in college football history, you take that over the game that wasn't the game of the century against Oklahoma. But the Crouch, stunts to Crouch.
It's unbelievable play. It's the most unbelievable game. Other than Braun, we saw Braun against the Magic in 2009 in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's the most unbelievable game I've seen in person.
Yeah, it's probably the greatest play
pandemonium. I've
ever seen. I mean, it was
pandemonium.
I was sitting in the bleachers, so it's
crazy. All right, we got two more things. We're out of here.
Okay.
We got to get you back to being a father. Top 10 sports movies. We'll bang this through, and I'm ready for you to just. I want you to get out your. We need to go. I have boxing gloves out there. Do you want to get the boxing gloves on and just.
If you have love and basketball in here, you're getting hit.
Actually, not a huge love and basketball guy.
Okay, good.
One of them, like, what I did to help with this was I Googled top sports movies, and I just, you know, because you want to, like, make sure you're not missing any. And some of them are like. Like, some would have Happy Gilmore on there. It's like, do you consider that a sports movie?
Barely,
but one made the cut here. But okay, so let's get it. At number 10, I have Remember the Titans. I know it's full of cheese, but...
It's got so much cheese, it doesn't make my 10. I'm sorry. Denzel throws the guy the banana, and it's just like, and he's chewing gum.
No, see, the most cheesy is
Gary
when the one,
Bertrand
yeah, point. When Gary goes to the sidelines and points.
I mean, some reason that movie is too cheesy for me.
But it's, well, I mean, how about the end, they're at a funeral, and they're all singing, na, 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 na.
That's what I'm saying. It's just cheese. It's Velveeta. It's mozzarella.
Well, and it's like disrespectful. If my casket's getting lowered and you guys do na 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 goodbye, I'm gonna be like, come on, dog.
I mean, it's almost like Ryan Held's like, here's what I'm gonna say: the Remember the Titans.
But he made my list. Okay.
Okay.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, I was a quarterback in high school. But you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger. Some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter. Little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game. Or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. See, I haven't seen movies like, have you seen Slapshot? That's a great movie.
I actually love Slapshot.
So I have not seen Slapshot. So the next one I put was Creed.
No, you did not put Creed.
Yeah!
No! No way! No way is Creed making your top 10.
How is it not making the top 10?
At least not Creed 2.
No.
Okay.
Creed 1's a great movie.
Creed 1's good. It's good. I'm saying top 10 sports movies of all time. You're going to put Creed? You're going to put Creed?
Hey, we're only at 9.
You got 6 Rockies to choose from before Creed, probably.
Well, there is. I copped out.
What about Rocky 4?
I only put 1 Rocky in there.
Okay.
Okay? So at number 9, I have Creed.
Okay.
At number 8, this I got from the menshealth.com top 40 sports movies of all time. Debatable, but I went with it because they had it on their list. Jerry Maguire.
See, I'm a huge Jerry Maguire fan, so I would be fine with that.
But it's not really a sport. But it's like, he's a sports agent. Like,
it's
that's debatable.
It's very debatable because they don't actually. Well, Cuba.
Cuba like playing sports.
I will.
You wouldn't give it to me?
I would make an exception. I wouldn't probably put it on my list as a sports movie, but if somebody throws it on their list, I make an exception because it's so freaking good.
Next movie, White Men Can't Jump.
Solid.
Love that movie.
Love it.
I mean, I just fucking love that movie.
Does it make my top 10? I'm going to have to think about it. It's close. I like it.
It's in the conversation. It's in the door. You let the rope, you open the velvet rope
and
you let him in.
So much of that that's like. I like the movies that are sticky, right? The movies where in my daily life,
yes, like
a line or a thought, like there's 100 lines and moments from White Men Can't Jump that come into my world.
That's it. So, okay, so hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4. Next game I got, He Got Game.
It's good. I mean, really good. Probably not top 10.
It's a good movie, though.
Really good.
You know what's interesting is Ray Allen being cast in that movie. What you sacrifice in acting, you make up for in every basketball scene. There aren't actually that many basketball scenes in that movie, but like
it's good basketball. Though.
But like when he's playing Denzel one on one, or in like it's a great, it's fantastic.
You know, Ray does a good enough job for being a non-actor. He did a pretty good job.
But it almost works better that he's not. It's almost like on Almost Famous that you have the child.
Yeah.
It's like actually not that great of an actor, but like that's, I mean,
it almost works better.
It works better that he's not that good because that's what a kid would be like. And like in that situation, it works better that Ray Allen can act because he's a basketball player. You know what I mean?
So it's like the show Playmakers.
Yeah.
Everybody likes, you know, Denzel's kid plays Ricky Jarrett.
Yes.
And he just doesn't look like, I mean, I know they say he played in college. He doesn't look.
He doesn't pass it.
He doesn't pass the I'm an athlete test visually. And that does something where it's like he's, I don't know, like Ray Allen, like you look at him and like part of being an NBA guy is like you're 6'6 and long.
And
like
he looks the part.
You look the part and you are Ray Allen. Like that helps with the story to me.
I love that movie.
Very good. Probably not top 10, though.
So, okay, I'm trying to keep people against. So, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. At number 5, I have Field of Dreams.
Good man. Need to be in there.
It's a great movie.
Nick, good
it's
man.
It's just,
if it
it's
doesn't
a top 5
top,
all time.
There you go.
At number 4, I got The Sandlot. I just feel like the core of that movie is baseball.
Yes. Pure baseball.
Pure childhood playing with your buddies baseball.
Yeah, it's nostalgia. Absolutely. And you, here's what's funny about, and I don't know if this is going to prove me wrong, but I think baseball makes for better for a lot of my favorite sports movies for some
reason.
No
question.
Even though it's not my favorite sport.
That's weird for me too because I love more baseball movies than I do basketball movies.
And way more than football. Like,
Football movies are kind of hard to do.
Football movies are hard to do.
Like, I don't like Any Given Sunday very much. Or The Program's okay. Like
North Dallas 40, okay. It's pretty
Friday
good.
Friday Night Lights was okay. Yeah. Like, I got Sandlot 4. Number 3, Rocky. It won fucking Best Picture. I mean, come on. The original Rocky.
The original, it's the shit.
It's a tremendous movie. Yep. And number 2, I don't know what it is about this movie that I love, because it's not that I'm an analytics guy through and through. I just love Moneyball. I love the movie Moneyball.
Moneyball has been moving up the list too. It's like it came out and it was good, and I think it's what
it's got
it's
a big
proved,
cable TV resurgence.
It's because it's rewatchable as hell.
It really is.
It's you find the shows that are rewatchable. like, to me, Remember the Titans is less watchable than like a Moneyball. Moneyball becomes way more watchable over and over.
Yes. And then number one, greatest sports movie of all time, I got Hoosiers.
A lot of people would put Hoosiers number one. I think Hoosiers is fantastic. I don't know if it makes my number one. Probably.
Does it make your top 10 though?
Oh yeah, definitely top 10.
So, okay, so my, honestly, you know what movie I struggled to leave out? Was Draft Day.
Draft Day's good.
I love Draft Day.
You see here, Nick, here's what's sad, okay? Here's what's sad. I'm a Costner guy.
Right.
So Paul Newman, Kevin Costner, probably, if you said, who are your favorite actors? Probably those two.
Yeah.
I could have up to four Costner, maybe five Costner movies.
Well, there's a lot of
Costner. So Field of Dreams and Bull Durham are probably top five for me.
You could throw in.
Have you ever seen For the Love of the Game by
Kevin
Costner? I've never
watched it all the way through.
It's actually really good. That's one that I think got is way underrated as
right.
a sports movie. That's a borderline top 10. Draft Day is like, it's top 15.
Right.
So like Kevin Costner's got.
Well, what about even like 10 Cup? Like
10
Cup's a pretty good movie.
Best, I think 10 Cup and Caddyshack are the two greatest golf movies ever made.
Right. I mean.
So like, that's where I'm talking like. You.
So what's the big, what's the big snub?
So.
For the Love of the Game, Bull Durham.
So no, like, Bull Durham is one of your snubs. If you're a Paul Newman guy, Slapshot has a chance for top 10. North Dallas 40 is a classic old one. What am I missing here?
Yeah, I'm trying.
You got Hoosiers. That's big.
Other basketball movies. There's just not that many. I'm not a Coach
some people,
Carter guy.
Some people are a Blue Chips guy, but yeah. I wouldn't put Blue Chips.
A lot
chips.
Of people put what's the documentary one?
Hoop Dreams.
I have a hard time with that. And this is one thing I wrote down for a note. Yeah. 30 for 30s and documentaries have kind of made you, this is your thought, like 30 for 30s and documentaries have made sports movies harder now.
Yes.
Because in some ways, instead of watching Hoosiers, I'd rather watch a 30 for 30 on the Hickory, like, you know what I mean? It's
or I think you can do Hoosiers. I think it's harder to do I think it's harder to do like the story of a more modern team.
Right.
I think the more modern you get, the more it's harder to do.
True.
I think it's harder
like
to do.
It'd be hard to do a 30 for 30 on like the Golden State Warriors now. Like, or I mean, it's.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like, I don't know. I just even saw like, I tried to watch like the Jackie Robinson, I think it was it called 42?
Yeah.
And it was just like, it doesn't come across as good.
As a documentary would.
Yes. Which
right.
is funny. I guess it's a, like, to do a sports movie right, that's why, like, a Bull Durham so good is it's not a, it's just like, it's, you know, it's just a, it's made up, you know, it's a.
Right. But I mean, okay, so you're upset about Remember the Titans and Creed. You went out.
I would be the guy, like, I've got to, like, to file a complaint here and the. Top 10 sports list.
They had other things like they actually had Color of Money, like pool.
Oh, so Color of Money.
So like, but like that's where we're getting like fringy. Like,
see, that's my Paul Newman bias. But I also like, I would put Caddyshack as a potential, just like you would put Tin Cup as a potential. Like they're golf, but they're like they're just
they're,
fun
yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
I would put those up just in terms of like I like the movie so much.
Oh man,
they. They provide a feeling. It's like Sandlot. They provide a feeling.
Yeah, no question. No question about it.
Where Creed, it's like good, but like top 10 all time.
I always enjoy, like Creed was paying off also your investment into the Rocky movies too. Like that's a
yeah.
part of what made that movie that much more special.
Yeah.
But all right, I'm going to do a two-parter here to get us out. Okay. I wrote down my top. This is more just like my list. Okay. I'm not necessarily saying like, critically acclaimed, this TV show is the best ever. But these are my top five favorite TV shows of all time. And then actually what's amazing was when I write down my favorite TV show characters of all time, there's one from each show.
Perfect.
Okay. Number one favorite TV show of all time is The Simpsons. We've talked numerous times about this. From 1993 to 1997. Or
99.
Couldn't miss. Every episode, perfect.
For those of you out there that have not gotten to experience The Simpsons, I will concur with this. 93 to 99, watch those and those alone. Don't worry about any of the rest of The Simpsons.
And tell me it's not good.
And it will be worth your time.
It will be 100% worth your time. Simpsons number one. And then I'll build off. So then I'll build off of it. And then one of my favorite TV show character of all time is Homer Simpson. It just has to be.
Yep.
I know that's lame. That's like my favorite band's Beatles. It's like, oh, this ought to be a good conversation. But
and I like Paul McCartney.
I like Paul McCartney. He's my favorite Beatle. I like Vanilla Ice Cream. It's really good. You can do different stuff with it. But isn't it? My favorite thing is Sunny Days.
But
that's
like,
me. But I like to go out on a limb. Mr. Lim.
But let me say something. If I told you that my favorite dessert is a chocolate chip cookie, that's the truth.
That is the truth.
But is there anything wrong that it's that
it's
good?
Not wrong. It's just that like good. Someone saying like they like the Beatles. It's not wrong. But
when you are that good, like if you're Michael Jordan, it's obvious. But shouldn't that be okay?
I know. But it's okay, in room good. One, you got Mr. Lim. He likes the Beatles, Vanilla Ice Cream, and he likes Sunny Days. Or in room number two, he likes Stone Temple Pilots. He loves Chunky Monkey, and he loves
in the 90s. Let's just say this podcast is going to get labeled. They don't talk about anything but the 90s. Nick is going to the 90s well.
Tell me you don't want to go back. You want to go back to the 90s.
You can't go to the 90s every time, man.
Wow. Now that I think about it, this podcast is one Nick, big like, who likes the 90s, man?
Nick,
you know what I like? You know what I like? The next list is... I like 1994. I like that year.
What's your favorite year of the 90s?
Oh, God.
Nick Baugh.
This is bad. Okay, next favorite show. Seinfeld. He spit it out, jerk. He just drank LaCroix. We're out of wine. He's going to spit it out. I like the 90s. This whole podcast is about me in the 90s. Stone Temple Pilots. I couldn't name one. I can't name one. I think I was trying to say Pearl Jam. Are you going to spit it out? Is he going to spit it out? Just spit it out. I don't care. This room is disgusting anyways.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Okay.
You were thinking Pearl Jam.
I was. I was like, Stone Temple Pilots. See, I was even thinking, they don't sing Black Hole Sun, do they? Who sings that song?
That's
Alice in Chains.
Close, actually. No. No, but close. Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Yeah, I just...
Not bad, Nick.
How about that? How about me? Yeah. Look at me. I know a thing or two about things.
Alice in Chains is I Came to Snuff the Rooster.
I don't know if I know that song. If I heard it, I would know it.
There's some.
It was in the 90s. I know it, man.
There's some Gen Xers out there like,
I mean, if I could go to Southwest Airlines and fly to the 90s, I would definitely fly there right now. Okay. Wow. Seinfeld, number two. The Office is just beating down that door, but... I can't move off Seinfeld as number two. It's one of those shows, everything's become almost like, it's like Anchorman where like all the lines, all the stuff almost gotten like too, like go watch a classic episode of Seinfeld.
Okay, well let me ask you a question.
Are you a Curb guy?
Has Curb overtaken Seinfeld?
Not for me. Not for me. This just me. And the main reason why is because it doesn't include my favorite character. I mean, really it doesn't include any of the characters. My second favorite television show character of all time is George Costanza.
Okay, then that's fair then.
George Costanza just hits me in a place.
But Larry David is Costanza.
He is like the real life Costanza. But George, George Costanza tickles me in a way that few characters have ever tickled me.
It's funny. This is a tough one. If you like,
you're a Curb guy. Embrace it.
No, I don't know.
Pander to my Seinfeld love.
Here's what I say: I love Seinfeld.
Yeah,
and I also love Curb. But if you have to pick, that's a tough one for me. I really don't know
which one was made in the 90s. Which one was more prevalent in the 90s? That should trump everything. The 90s.
The 90s at nine.
God, what is wrong with me,
Nick? You love
this. Is I have.
It's a yearning. You have a yearning.
I have a yearning for the 90s.
And you didn't know how bad you wanted
it. And I didn't know it until I wrote four or five pages of lists of things. And they all are,
there was nothing about your list. Like, even Nebraska was like, well, 94, 97, and then 96. Oh, forget about the 1971 game of the century, which is the greatest game in college football history. I'm going to go with the Eric Crouch game. And it's like, Nick, everything you did revolved around the 90s. There was nothing about this. Like, hey, blockbuster video.
Can I finish my list?
Okay.
So Seinfeld number two, Costanza. The next one didn't take place in the 90s. The Office.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Talk about, it might be more rewatchable. It's maybe the most rewatchable show. And other than The Simpsons, it might be the most rewatchable television show. And
it's going. Funny. I'd say the millennial generation, you could almost, it's almost unanimous. That sentence right there, every single millennial I know says, I just like to have The Office on in the background, just watch.
It's
ingrained. It's almost unanimous. It's pretty bizarre. Like, I always try to push against the social norms. I like to be different,
right?
But I won't even argue. I like The Office. I want to watch it over and over, and it kind of bugs me that everybody does too. But right. That means it's that good,
right?
That's the truth.
And so then, obviously, within that, I put Michael Scott.
Done.
I mean, iconic character. Number four, Breaking Bad. Even though you told me last summer that you think Ozark is maybe better than Breaking Bad.
Maybe.
I still got Breaking Bad as fourth. And then...
And I would take Mad Men over Breaking Bad.
See, I know. I need to finish Mad Men.
And The Wire, man.
I know.
What's
The
wrong
Wire.
With you?
People are like, hey, man, you track this cell phone? He called from a payphone.
Nick,
man.
Let me just tell you something. After this list today, you'll have no problem watching The Wire, okay? You're already living in that time period.
Is this, do I need to go to therapy after this list? Do I have something? Is this a secretly a cry for help? Did Nick, my subconscious cry for help?
Nick,
with making
you're
this
telling
list?
Me that you
I put
are
a lot of
longing.
Thought into this.
You are longing for a time and place, and that time and place is 1990 through 1999.
I mean, you tell me you don't want to go back to that time.
That was a great decade.
That's a great time. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. What's weird is I'm going to put Walter White in there, even though Jesse Pinkman was probably my favorite character from the show. Walter White's an iconic character. Okay?
Walter is
better. And then the last one is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Shouts out to the 90s. And Will Smith.
Big shock. Huge shock. Huge, enormous
that show,
shock.
Bo. Don't tell me that show didn't go hard.
Nick, what year was that show? Nick.
Oh, I have really done it.
Wow.
I did not expect this because that concludes the list, Pod. Those are all my lists I wanted to give it to you. I did not think at the end of this I would need to call 1-800-THERAPY. And
Nick, what's wrong with me? Was the 90s lists is what it should have been called.
What's wrong with me?
What was on there that wasn't the 90s? Like, okay. You'd have to really look. Like, what did I put in there? Creed. Wow, Creed was newer.
Oh, the only thing we didn't get to. We'll bang through this fast. Because I had a hard time labeling what these, like. So it was the top 5 firsts or feelings. We'll wrap it up with this. And we're keeping it, like, PG. We're not like, first time you did it. You know, like. Number one on my best feelings. No. Okay. I gotta compose myself because I feel
the
like
bus ride, seventh
the,
grade.
The bus, the 1992 entire year. The first time you experienced the year 1992. Okay. Number one, 1991. The first time you experienced it. Okay. I did, though. I didn't go rated R. I went rated PG. The first time you get to first base, first time you kiss a girl. Got to include that. I remember yours. You were around the corner. It was New Year's Eve, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember mine, too.
I do. Yeah. We were
next to each other for a lot of...
I've been around.
But come on.
It's thrilling. What it is, it's a thrilling moment.
It's a thrilling moment. The other thing then within that, we'll get the intangible part of that. The first time, and this is probably in the 90s too for me, but the first time, I want you to really think back to this. Because I'm going to get to ones you're going to be like, oh, yeah. But this is more like stupid. Really think back to the first time you had a crush on a girl. And you found out that girl liked you back. Think about the first crush you ever really had. You find out that girl has
Nick,
a crush
on you. She never liked me back, Nick. She never.
You need to go back to the 90s and change it.
Damn it.
You still have time.
If I could learn the information that would make her like me and I could travel back.
You had a chick that you had a crush on that didn't like you back?
Oh, I think most girls I had a crush on didn't like me back.
Oh, that's a lot.
No, I mean, I think the amount of girls that you're like, oh, that's the girl. Like, how many of them did you like?
There's a difference between, there's a lot of girls I thought were hot, but
I would say it wasn't until middle school that the girl that I liked.
Well, I guess I'm starting in middle school. Grade school, it's like you don't even know what's going on.
Okay,
you know
what I mean? I thought
you're peeing the bed. You're like, I peed the bed tonight. I'm moving on the girl that I got a crush on.
Okay. We're going to high school then, at least.
We're going to middle school, high school-ish.
How about high school? So we're really, I don't know.
You feel me there?
Middle school.
Yeah. We dumped our girlfriends and watched WrestleMania, though. So we don't really, that doesn't count. How about that? We'll add that to this. The first time you dump your girlfriend so you can get Kentucky Fried Chicken and watch WrestleMania when Mike Tyson was going to be on it when it was Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold, right?
Yes. And by the way, have you been watching the A&E?
I've wanted to. I've not been watching it, but I've wanted to.
I watched one on Stone Cold.
Stone Cold's a great guy. Doesn't he seem like a great guy?
Yeah. Well, it's just, I'll tell you what, for the people that lived in the 90s as we did, and you watched WWE and WCW wrestling.
It'll all be WWF to me. Screw the WWE stuff. It's WWF to me.
The A&E is doing these, they did the Macho Man.
They did some on Shawn Michaels.
The new one on Shawn Michaels I haven't seen. But it's like, wow, it takes you back to those. It was
so can remember, though, for WrestleMania, so Stone, correct me if I'm wrong, Shawn Michaels called for the sweet chin music. Stone Cold blocked it, spun him around, and stunned him to win.
And then Mike Tyson was supposed to be with Michaels, and then he became a Stone Cold guy.
Oh, God. I mean... We ate Kentucky Fried Chicken, dumped our girlfriends, so we didn't get phone calls during it.
They would have ruined our WrestleMania experience.
It's too big of a night.
Had to dump them.
We had to do it. Okay, so that was first girl you had a crush on. But the first time, how about this? First time you drive by yourself after you turn 16. The first time you are by yourself in your car.
I don't remember my first time. I remember the first time you had one because Nick was older in middle school. So he turned 16 when he was in middle school.
Ninth grade. At the end of ninth grade.
We're still in middle school. So the last month of school, we had a car. We had wheels, which was such a game changer. That's what I remember. That changed.
Remember we went to Runza and walked into the cafeteria holding did we have a Runza bag or just Runza?
We had Runza bags. We walked in.
We might as well had a money bag.
Nobody had currency. Ever not had school lunch, and we went to Runza, which was, you couldn't leave. You couldn't leave campus. You couldn't leave and go. And we did it. We were
Clint
Eastwood escape from Alcatraz. We were digging tunnels.
Get out of there and get to Runza and show off our Runza cups and Runzas that we ate.
So that right there, I will say that was when you had wheels.
So you're feeling is
you were the first to have wheels.
There we go.
That was it.
All right, that's good. The last two. This one I couldn't quite capture. The first possession of a big game. This is more like getting in the nuts and bolts of what it's like to be an athlete. Like, remember a big game? And the feel for me, the feeling was big game, like first possession, you hit a shot.
Yeah.
Or just the, like, I miss the, even the crescendo of, like, everybody's coming to half court for a jump ball. It's a big game. Yeah. Crowd's going, like, that feeling of, like, all right, let's fucking go. Like, I love that. Well, so the
I think football and basketball are such different feelings. Like, football, yeah. It's like there's just tension that needs to be released on the first
and
play.
And that first play, I think, yeah. Then everybody kind of, like, exhales.
Where basketball, it's sort of a, there's a little bit of, like, a performance. Like, you're kind of, like.
You're on stage
you're
a little
kinda
more.
You're kind of just, like, you're. Yeah, you
there's
just
a build up to it, you know, and here comes the jump ball. But think about that feeling. It's a big game.
Yeah.
Think like the gym's rocking. And is there anything better than you win the jump and then you like go both ways? Like,
yeah.
You then say you lose the jump and you lock up and you get a stop, get a board, like that feeling of like they're not scoring today.
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa. You win the jump, you come down, execute something, and get an easy bucket. Like the crowd goes nuts, yeah. And you're like, man, we're beating these motherfuckers by 100 today. The God, I love that feeling. I was going to say just the winning locker room.
Do you know what's funny? I actually, when I think back to high school basketball, I almost think like warm-ups to me was almost a bigger moment than the start of the game, which is really weird. Like
yeah, going through like the run out.
When
like
you
it was
come
a big
out.
Run out to the fight song.
Oh, and yeah. And you go through warm-ups. I think that was a bigger moment for me in high school than a lot of the football stuff. It was a big deal. I don't know what, like the gyms were always packed.
They were packed. It was,
and it's intimate. Yeah. And it was like when you could be when it was high school basketball and you came out in warm-ups, it was like,
it was a big deal.
It was like, you're putting on a show in a way.
Right. Oh yeah. I would do it. When I'd come out and do the first layup we would do, I would always put a lot of jelly on
it. Yeah.
And
cause you know, I mean,
like you had to like perform.
Well, and you remember as a kid, like we'd go to Southeast, we'd watch the older guys when you were, right. You know, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. This was in the '90s. But you watched those guys closely. You watched the guys.
J.R. Edwards and Corey Adams.
You watched the way people went through the layup line. You really studied them. You're like, wow, these guys are great athletes. Like, look at them go. So you kind of like, it was always you're on your best performance.
Imitation.
Yeah,
of,
it's good extension.
Isn't
it's
funny?
Like
more than getting ready for the game, you were like, all right, for 20 minutes, I can pretend to be Alvin
Mason. You
got to
look good. Yeah, you got to look good.
That's what it was like.
There's something about the
But you know the build up. I just love that build up. Okay, what do you like more? Build up, lose the jump ball, fucking lock up a team and get a stop. Or build up, win the jump ball, go down, execute. We run a little cross screen. We throw it into you. You turn, little drop step off.
That's better, I think.
Do you want to score?
Well, yeah, you want to score first.
But it kind of feels good to like – it kind of feels good if you really have a great defensive possession. You communicate stuff. You blow it up. They have to force a shitty shot.
Yeah, I don't know that it's like a moment to me though. I know basketball. Yeah. I think basketball is so it's such a fluid game to me. That
see, but I always enjoyed though with football. Like first offensive play, we'd hand it to you, and you'd get like you know it's like it was just an ISO, and you picked up like 11. Like that feeling of like hopping up like.
But see, that's more of a statement. I feel with basketball, yeah, you come down and execute, but it's such a more of a flow game. Than football.
Yeah. It's just different.
But football warm-ups, nobody gives a shit about football warm-ups. Basketball warm-ups,
there was like,
it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Like
I don't know why. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it was
football
a big deal.
Is just like, nah, your
no
guys,
one's watching
you guys are down there. Just get
no
ready.
No one's watching. And you're in a helmet. It's not intimate. They're a long ways away.
Football is like, it's just this tension. Everybody's so like, man, this first play.
You
like
think you're going to war.
You do. It feels.
I mean, that's what it felt
you
like.
Need to hit
right.
To then just play.
Right.
Where basketball
there's
not,
more of a show to it.
It is. It's a different vibe.
And then the last one was something you can relate to now. First time seeing your baby. Nothing like it. Agree? Mr. New Dad?
So we go 90s, 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 90s.
To 2021 90s, for you 90s, and 20,
to 2021
for me.
Babies.
Is it bad to not leave on the 90s? Do you want to go back to... What do you want to go back to? 1994, Forrest Gump? The first time you saw Forrest Gump.
I mean...
The first time you saw Friends?
It's almost hard to go to present day when we've been 90s this much.
Man.
I'm going to defer the 90s for that.
Okay.
This
well, is what did we learn? Well, okay, you know, Dan Patrick likes to wrap up his show of like, what did we learn today? We learned that I apparently am stuck in the 90s or want to go back to the 90s.
We need to have an intervention on your 90s.
What's like, wrong with me? Is this a big cry for help?
We need to know why you...
I don't know.
Why did it go to the 90s for everything?
I don't know.
Well, that's the question that we need to answer.
We need to ponder that. We need to ponder that for a while.
By the way,
I truly thought, like, man, Bo, this is going to really impress Bo. He's going to like this.
But, Nick, I love the 90s. So
yeah, so you're right there with me.
I'm with you. But it's surprising how much this turned into. Like, you didn't say, I want to do a 90s pod. You said, I'm going to do a list pod.
I text you. I said, I got a list pod. I'm just going to throw lists at you and you can react to it. And it turned into to remember the 90s.
That's what the pod should have been called.
So should we call it Remember the 90s Pod?
It's got to be.
We need to go through and figure out how many things weren't about the 90s.
Not much.
89% of the things were probably about the 90s.
A little bit of the Husker football.
A little Husker stuff, but yeah. I mean, that's not good.
Well, you did post Frank Solich, so you avoided it.
How about that? Good. How about that for me? Okay, my friend. Well, I kept you way longer than I thought I was going to keep you.
Oh my gosh.
We just went almost 2 hours, pal. That was good. We've been done with this wine for a while. It's just a problem. If a waitress would have come and be like, another bottle, I'd be like, yeah. Do you have a bottle from the 90s?
How about a 90s Chateau Marmont?
Do you have a 90s Chianti, please? 90s. All right, man. I'll go to therapy, and I'll get my life together, and I'll get my brain and my heart together, because I got to quit living in the past, apparently. This was not good.
I don't know. I like the 90s.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
maybe let's not fight it. Maybe we embrace it.
Let's embrace it. So we're embracing the 90s. Bo Rude, I'll get you out of here on that. Thank you for coming and listening to my cry for help, okay?
No problem.
All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet, great burgers, cheese Runza, delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.